Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We are live. Welcome to the Oak Shade Podcast. What's up? Dan Staten here, your host. We are doing a solo pod again this week. Guys, I am not slacking, I promise. The hustle is real, but as far as lining up guests for podcasts, I just want to get right into it. Like, this is year 7, and there's a lot of podcasts out there now, and there's a lot of repeat guests and whatnot. And so I just decided in 2024, if I couldn't do a podcast in person, I probably wasn't going to do one. Or if I was going to do one via Zoom or whatever, it's got to be something super important or compelling. And on that note, if you have an idea of a guest, somebody who probably aligns with our brand of hard work and elk hunting, fitness, discipline, things like that, let me know. Reach out, dan@elkshape.com. Let me know who that is. Elect somebody. Don't elect yourself. Have someone elect you, and we'll get you on, man. I love rubbing elbows with just ordinary people with extraordinary passion for elk hunting, which is great. I'm going to give you an update this week. We went bear hunting again, only a 2-day trip. So one night, and I have a couple funny stories. And then I did kill a turkey this week, so I'll talk about that. Talk about training this week and the busyness that is starting to happen as the weather is changing, the daylight is getting extended. We're all getting outside now. And so I want to kind of discuss how to stay in shape with limited time. That's going to be really important. And especially this time of year when you're going to have less and less time, even though there's more daylight. So let's get into it. So we went bear hunting, literally just got back last night, watched the weather. We had a lot of perfect bear hunting weather all week, which is like overcast, but our overcast was calling for rain every day, like not all day rain, but the kind of rain where like it would still be decent bear hunting, but you'd have to have a, you know, go to a master vantage because we're doing spot and stock and get a tarp built and probably have a little fire going and just sit there and repeat stare all day and pull ticks off of you. That's honestly, that is what bear hunting is like for me. I've been doing it for so long. That is like what bear hunting is sitting in the spot, repeat glassing. Generally, you don't start seeing bears till after 4 or 5 p.m. And the good ones usually don't come out till maybe 30 or 40 minutes left of daylight at best. And then it's just a scramble to get yourself in position with a bow. Rifle hunting bears is a little bit different, especially if you can shoot extended ranges. However, I cannot tell you how many times, including this last trip, we've seen pretty good looking bears from afar and we put glass on them for 30 to 45 minutes. And then eventually we see little football sized cubs with a bear. And I'm not saying that to scare rifle hunters. I'm just saying like, man, you really got to watch a bear for quite a while. If you're not good at deciphering between boars and sows, and it can always be a little tricky, you really want to pay close attention and watch that bear for a little while. The bear I saw you see, yesterday was only 600 yards away, and it had swagger in the way it walked. And I was like, is that a boar? It was a chocolate. And then it turned sideways, and I had it in my mag view. So I had my iPhone on my little 56 millimeter spotter, the mini Razor from Vortex. And I zoomed in, and I'm like, man, that bear's got swagger. I don't see any cubs. And then it turned sideways, broadside, and a 600 yard shot's very doable for a lot of guys with a range, well, with a rifle. I have a rifle that would do that. And then when I looked, I was like, oh, pretty weak on the front end, pretty big back end, pretty long snout, narrow nose, a little bit bigger ears. That's just a 200 pound sow, is what I told Jeff, my creative. He was with me filming, and he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, no, I'm not 100% sure, but if I were to like guess, I think that's a sow. We watched her for literally 30 minutes, and she was just going in and out of some snowfield onto some green grass, back into the brush, and then about 30 minutes later, two NFL football sized fur balls popped out, cutest things you ever seen. And we were like, aha, that's definitely a sow. Not all sows have cubs, but a lot of them will. Some won't. And if you don't, I just don't want to shoot a sow. I have killed sows, not on purpose, but it's tricky. But really watch, the biggest giveaway to that bear was the shoulder compared to the hips. Just the back end is wider and bigger, bigger hips. And if I hadn't gotten that broadside view, because the way she was walking was down this road eating towards us, she moved and had a waddle like a swagger, like a boar, and it really deked me. So if you are rifle hunting for bears and you don't want to shoot a sow and cubs because you're not supposed to, just really watch those bears and give them a little bit of time if that's even possible. Still haven't seen a boar, or at least a good boar yet. We are on the board with 8 bears for the year in 3 outings. We've had one outing where we got completely goosed. That was last week. It's picking up, but the bears are definitely still not moving a lot. We have a bait in a different mountain range. I'm going to go check that next week. It's been out for 2 weeks. It should be hit by now. And I don't have a cellular trail cam there to get pinged to notify. So I have to go in there and burn boot leather to check. And I will not take a bow. I will literally just go in and bring a little bit of bait and hike in with some Buck Bomb bacon and some Buck Bomb ice cake, I think it's called. And you just spray it, and then some anise extract, and I'll probably burn a little bit of oil, and it should be good. That's kind of the bear hunt last couple days. We camped at the truck. Jeff asked me. Jeff works for me. He's creative. He does editing. He does filming. He helps me with branding, and he also helps with Elk Shape training. He asked if he could borrow one of my canvas cutters, and I said, of course. And I threw it in the back of the truck. When we got back, got there, we went hunting, and then we got back obviously pretty late in the dark, headlamps, and I was pretty tired. We'd covered a lot of country, and so I just cooked up a meal that I ordered from blackovis.com, and I'm going to look it up real quick because I can't remember the name of it, but I remember that one of the Eastman's guys was on the cover of it. Ready Wise Outdoor Pro Adventure Meal Premium. I had beef stroganoff with cream sauce. Forgot a spoon. Y'all been there? So you make it a little extra watery so you can drink your dinner. That's what I did. Don't forget your long spoon. Get a spoon from Peaks, the extra long one for freeze-dried meals. Anyways, crushed that, drank water, told Jeff I'm going to bed, threw out my canvas cutter, crawled in the Peak Solace, zipped up, lights out, was asleep by 10 p.m., and I didn't wake up till 7 a.m. the next day. We were going to get up a little earlier, but honestly, I didn't set an alarm. I didn't think I would need to, but I just slept hard. And when I get up, I looked over, and Jeff's already awake, and he's wearing every piece of clothing he's ever owned in his life. He looks like a hobo, and he looks disheveled, and I'm like, man, good morning. And I look around, and there's like everything's frosted. The outside of my truck's got frost, the windshield, there's frost on my canvas cutter. It was a clear, cold night, no cloud cover. And Jeff's like, dude, I didn't get any sleep last night. And I was like, what? Are you okay? Are you sick? What happened? And he's like, well, when I borrowed your canvas cutter, I just assumed it had a sleeping bag inside of it. So Jeff literally didn't even wake me up to let me know that he was freezing his balls off. And he said he slept till about 1 a.m. and woke up cold. Never shivered, but he said every hour on the hour, he'd have to get up and do 100 air squats to get warm. And then he pulled out his solar blanket out of his MyMedic emergency kit. Shout out to MyMedic emergency kit. Get the MyFact discount code Oakshape, 15% off. Shameless plug. So he had that, and he wore all his clothes, and he got very little sleep. And I was like, well, do you want to go home and or call it a day? And, you know, I just don't want to ruin my camera guy's life. I've literally had a guy quit over bear hunting. I took him bear hunting and he hated it and I tortured him. And Jeff's just, no, I'm good to go. I can't wait. Let's go. And so Jeff, shout out to him. He was super tough. But yeah, no, canvas cutters don't come with a sleeping bag. It's just a really cool foam pad and a canvas cutter. And they're thick to where that canvas and that pad, you don't need to put a pad underneath it, and it insulates and it's super comfortable. And I sleep so many nights in a canvas cutter, and we have a discount code with them. It's Elkshape, 10% off. So Jeff's tough / kind of dumb. Now he knows you got to bring a sleeping bag. And the other thing that Jeff didn't bring that he was coveting, I want to tell you guys, is just get yourself a backcountry little chair. Like, I have this little Amazon one. It breaks down to nothing. I keep it in my pack. And every time we get to a master vantage, that's the first thing I do is I set up a chair. I get my spotting scope on a tripod. And then I just glass. And if I see anything that kind of looks like a bear, I put the spotter on it to confirm. Because a lot of times you're glassing 3 to 5 miles away. And if you see a black stump, it'll look like maybe a bear. And you have to watch it and see if it moves. Because bears do move quite a bit when they're feeding. And quite a bit when you're trying to sneak in close on with a bow. Bears aren't like sit there and hold still and chew grass. They're always kind of moving. And you'll find that out. But that was our adventure for the week. Thoughts were, next week we're going to check the bear bait. Hunting pressure was real. I saw two guys on a four-wheeler sharing a four-wheeler. One had a rifle, one had a bow. Two other guys on dirt bikes with bows. And they knew who I was, and they were in there kind of hitting all my spots that I've been hunting for 15 years. So not mad, just going to go to some different spots. I have several, but we're pretty much done hunting that area. And it's my favorite area to hunt, but I don't want to have other hunters where I'm at, and we can hike into some other places where when you're bear hunting this time of year, you can generally find areas that you cannot get to on a machine. You have to hike through snow and drop, kind of go up and over a pass or something. And then you can get into where the snow is receding and find some hidden gems. And that's what we did these last 2 days. Lots of hiking, lots of time through snow. We did glass up a giant moose paddle, but it was honestly so far away and we didn't have enough time to go get it. Well, maybe we'll get it later in the year. Lots of elk, more moose than I've seen ever before, which is encouraging. And we did see quite a bit of fresh wolf sign. We have wolf tags, and Jeff carries a long range weapon just in case we see a wolf. So that's what we did this week on turkey front. I finally stroked one. I shot it at probably 16, 17 yards, and I didn't call it in. These turkeys are all henned up still, but I've been watching them I've been out so much that I've kind of figured out a spot where they pinch. So I literally just moved my ground blind over to where that pinch point was, and I sat there for about 4 hours, and I had one tom come in chasing a hen, and I got to full draw, and old Dan, who could punch a trigger, would have got an arrow off, but I was just looking at where I was aiming and pulling, shot never broke. And by the time it was getting close to breaking, he was already out of my shot. I was pretty mad at myself, but I also don't want to take uncontrolled shots. And I'm glad I didn't, because maybe a half hour later, another solo tom came through, and he was a good one, man. He had big, big beard, almost dragon, probably, I didn't tape it out, but over 10 inch beard. He was a Merriam, big hooks, and he was strutting and walking, and I put a good one in him. Turkeys are hard to kill with a bow. I think if you've never done it, I would almost encourage anyone to just use a shotgun. I've done it a lot. I've done a spot and stock. I've done ground blinds, all sorts of stuff. I think I started turkey hunting in probably the year, probably 1999 or 2000. I was fortunate enough to, when I was graduating in high school and stuff like that, and my first couple years in college, all that, my family had 10 acres, and then we had all these neighbors that let us turkey hunt. And so I could just roam, and we had a ton of turkeys. And I remember it was a one turkey spring for several years, and then they bumped it to two tags, and now it's three tags. And oh man, our turkeys are doing well in Washington. So I've killed a lot of turkeys with spot and stock, blinds, all sorts of shotguns, bows, you name it. Anyways, I stroked this one, and where to aim, man, I like those front on shots, usually when they're puffed up or not puffed up, kind of somewhere between the wattle and where the beard starts seems to be a good spot. And then if you draw that line around, if it's turning quartering away or quartering to, kind of same height, there's a little pocket of vitals. It's tough to hit, man. I don't know if I didn't really get both lungs on this turkey, but where I hit him, he could not fly. He could not run away. Like, he was hurting and he laid there. And when he hit the ground and flopped around for a second, I thought he was done. And two more toms came in and they went right after him and attacked him. And honestly, I think he was on his way out, but they like finished him off. I think I got it on video, and I know I did. And so shout out to the two toms for the assist. And if I wasn't so like blown away at them beating the crap out of my 3/4 dead turkey, I would have shot one of them. I had two tags, but I didn't. And so I picked him up, and next week we're going to go out. I got a couple of new decoys I ordered from blackovis.com. I use my own discount code when I buy gear from them. It's Elkshape, 10% off most things. And it's a realistic, I'm going to go ahead and look this one up because I haven't taken him out of the box yet, but I've been using a Jake and a hen decoy, and I'm just not getting the response that I usually get. So I wanted to get more of like a fanned out, realistic looking tom. See what I got here. I ordered the Avion X HDR Strutter Turkey Decoy. Not cheap. $234.99. Got 10% off. And then I ordered the Avion Hen as well. So I'm going to throw, it's called the Feeding Hen Turkey. So I'm going to put those two out. We're going to get the big long lens. We're going to film. I'm going to try to get both my turkey tags punched next week. And I'm going to try to get Jeff his first turkey with a bow. And I used a Sever 2.0 on turkeys. That's kind of like my go-to, or maybe the Beast from Bomar, although those aren't shipping out yet. So good old Sever, titanium, 2-inch cut. I used the Easton Parallel Pro X10s, and they weigh about 450. And I got the aluminum 4mm half out. With that Sever, it's a good little combo for turkeys, and I'm using the same setup for bears. When it comes to elk and deer and stuff like that, I'm not going to use an expandable. I'm going to use iron wheel wides and whatnot. And I got a new arrow build I'm going to do next week. I ordered some Easton Sonics 340. I want to see if I can get away with a 340 spine. My draw length is only 26.5, and my poundage is 75 or 80. It's going to be close. I almost ordered 300s, but 340s is 7.8 GPI grain per inch. I'm going to use the brass. I think it's a break off, so it's got 75 or 50 grain option, and it's just an insert. And then I'm going to use an iron wheel wide 155. My FOC is going to be over 20%, I'm predicting. And my total arrow weight, I don't know. It should be low fours. That might be my elk arrow, or it might be these X10s. I'm not sure, but I'm giving Easton a big run for its money this year. I like that they're made in the States. So we'll do an arrow build next week. And then the next video I'm going to film for YouTube is I have a bunch of new like wrist strap releases in my possession, plus all the ones I've ever owned. And I wanted to do almost like a blindfolded test of 10 to 12 of those, shooting into a blank bell and just have an assistant put it on my wrist. And then I'll just pull back blindfolded, shoot it, and kind of go through all like a dozen and try to like narrow it down to my top three blindfolded, and then look at them with the blindfold off and see what it is. Why do I like the way that feels? But I think with elk hunting, a lot of guys should use a wrist strap versus a handheld. You won't lose it unless your handheld's on a buckle, which I don't like doing. I usually keep my handheld in my right hand pocket. And I didn't hunt with a handheld till 2019. So from 01 to 2018 was all an index release, like a Scott XT single hook. I think in 2018 or 19, Joel Turner, I got my first lesson with him in real life. Like, he came to my house and coached me up and really helped me work through that. So I'm going to cascade some of that information that he shared with me on that next YouTube video. And I can tell you, man, there's been a lot of instances where I haven't gotten shots off with a handheld because I don't really know how to punch it. I'm not trained to punch it. And so I can think of this turkey last week where I didn't get a shot off. There's a bear I didn't get a shot off on. And these are shots that probably would have broke or I would have punched with a wrist rocket. But You got to do you. Some instances, you're going to have to potentially command shoot really fast on an elk. Don't recommend it, but I've killed more elk with a wrist rocket than I have a handheld, just because I hunted with one for so long. So we're going to do that video this week. And then Monday, you're listening to this, we have a QAD Exodus. We have the full versus swept shoot off at my new property, blowing things up, shooting it through OSB, plywood, cement board, jugs of liquids, long shots. They did really well. And for the price, I think QAD is tough to beat. And I think they're really durable. I only broke one broadhead through all that. And that was the full when it hit the cement block. And it's never coming out of that cement block. It's wedged in there for life. And then the swept, I broke. It's not as durable as the full, I would say, but it's still really durable. And I broke it in the plywood and I broke it in the cement block. Both flew pretty good. And then the swept are just not legal in a few states. They're considered barb. They're past the 90 degree. And in that video, we kind of show that. We give you a disclaimer and we show which states. And then obviously you still got to do your due diligence and pick up the phone and find out for sure. Because it's up to you to know the rules. That's coming out. And then on Thursday, we have a spring bear pack dump that I did a week or two ago when we did a backcountry hunt. And I think those are important to do from time to time. So we just break down all the gear. One thing I didn't have in my bag looking back is I didn't have my MyFac first aid kit that I always bring with me. And it was in my truck at the time of the recording. So I'll probably get called out for not having a tourniquet, but I do have a tourniquet. I do have a first aid kit and I do have my camera dude, Jeff, has one, and I know where he puts it in his pack, and he knows where it's in my pack, and that's the most important thing. And we know what everything is inside of it, and we use it. Definitely want to check those boxes. So I guess we'll do a bigger announcement, but one thing that happened last week that it's been in the works for a while is I've been working closely with a different knife manufacturer out of Post Falls. I'll just say it, Buck.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Since 2010, really, but not officially until about 3 or 4 years ago. And we had a meeting with them in January in their corporate office boardroom thing. And there's some people over there that I really, really love. But I remember telling them basically point blank, I was like, hey guys, we need to do more content with you guys, like in better content. Like a lot of your content is just pictures of knives with no story. And, I just basically in that meeting, I remember I mentioned Montana Knife Company. I'm like, they are killing it. They're telling stories. They have limited drops. They're just everywhere and they're hungry. And I love that about them. Can we compete? And I do know that Buck has a lion's share of the market, but I know that Montana Knife is like creeping in, like no doubt about it. And I've met Josh Smith, the founder, and I've seen him at TAX and trade shows and Black Rifle Coffee events, all sorts of places. And I just really like his team. And his team keeps getting more and more key people that I'm friends with. And so I was just attracted to the blue collar startup with Montana Knife, where Josh quit his job as a lineman in 2020 to go all in on his side hustle as a master bladesmith and was like, I'm just going to do Montana Knife's full send and I'm going to do it out of my house. And from there, it's like, dude, I like people that bet on themselves and go all in and you have to risk it for the biscuit. And he did it. And I just felt like that's similar to me where I sold my gym and basically told everybody at my gym, I quit. I'm going all in on Elk Shape. I'm just more passionate about Fitness and elk hunting together. And I like that they're out of Montana. They're only 2.5 hours away from my house. So we're going to head over there and get some behind the scenes. So I'm officially going to go with Montana Knife Company, guys. You heard it here first. I have some of their knives and I can't wait to actually, I've used one on the turkey. Yeah, I think it's just going to be a better fit when a company like that is hungry. The one I used on the turkey was the Blackfoot 2.0. Obviously the Speed Goat 2.0 is the one I'm carrying for bears, and I'll hopefully get to skin up a nice bear and really put it through the paces. But the brand itself is in the direction that I'm wanting to go. They're hungry. They're savvy. They're just not in suits. These are just normal people making awesome stuff. So as listeners, we'll probably do some exclusive drops with them. We'll probably email that out and we'll put it on the podcast here. We'll get Josh on the pod soon and maybe we'll go on his podcast as well. But we're excited. You heard it here first. We also made an order this week with GoRuck. I ordered their sandbag and their Rucker 4.0. I have their weight vest. We're going to be a guest trainer for their audience, and we're going to make a week's worth of training for elk shape training just using the Rucker, the sandbag, and the weight vest. And I think that'll be cool to do like a minimalist week. So we'll let you guys know when that goes live, but we're going to be filming that here soon. And I love minimalist workouts. Anything with a sandbag, my favorite two movements with the sandbag, if you just have a sandbag, is sandbag ground to overhead and sandbag get-ups. Those two movements alone will put anyone in shape. Obviously, you can put a sandbag in a front rack, a back rack, and even overhead and do lunges and step-ups and build the legs. But if you're just on a budget and you need one thing, get a sandbag. If you can afford a weight vest, get a weight vest. If you can't afford their Rucker, then just use your hunting pack. But it is nice to have a separate set aside rucking bag for just rucks. And if you're not rucking, you're not getting ready for elk hunting, because elk hunting is elk hiking. And that is definitely something that's just never going to go away. Speaking of elk shape training, we are in our new phase. Let me see if I can find my doc where I write the workouts, by the way. So if you hate them or love them or love to hate them, you're welcome. Google Docs. I'm going to look up next week's programming and give you guys a little sample. Go over here. So Monday, May 6th. So Mondays and Fridays are going to be real specific workouts. Mondays is kind of a MRF prep. We talked about that in the last podcast. Look up MRF workout. We're prepping for it at the end of the month. And then Fridays is ruck and roll. So I'm going to leak these workouts to you now here so you can get a sample. So Monday is going to be a 1600 meter run with a 20 pound vest right into, so no break, 4 rounds with the vest still on. A 500 meter row, so it's gonna be a 2K row total, 10 pull-ups, 20 push-ups, 30 air squats, so 4 rounds of that for time. That's gonna be good. I mean, you're gonna end up doing 40 pull-ups, you're gonna end up doing 80 push-ups and 120 air squats with the vest plus a 2K row and basically a mile run. So a lot of conditioning on Monday, and we still have accessory. And I think I wrote this in however many sets, accumulate 100 meter left arm only farmer walk as heavy as possible. I'm going to use probably close to 100 pound dumbbell in one arm. That's really going to work that QL, that midline and grunt work, which is good for elk hunting. I don't know. I'm going to try to do the 100 meters all in one set, left arm, pick it up with my right, good grip work. You also need to accumulate 2 minutes worth of a static bear hug with a sandbag or D-ball. I'm going to use a 150 pound D-ball. Hold it at your chest, bear hug it, and just squeeze your butt cheeks. You probably won't be able to go 2 minutes. You might be able to. Some of you will. I won't. I'll probably have to break that up into 2 or 3 sets. And then I want you to accumulate 2 minutes of a static pull-up bar hang. So you're just going to hang from a pull-up bar, but you're not going to let your scaps elevate, you're going to depress them. So you're really working important archery injury prevention muscles. So that's some good accessory work. Never skimp on the accessory work. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is all just good, nasty stuff. But Friday's ruck and roll is with a 40 pound vest or a 40 pound ruck bag, 30 minutes every 2 minutes on the minute. So from 0 to 2 minutes, you're going to do max step ups on a 20 inch box with your ruck on. Then you're going to do 2 minutes of max burpee, box step over. So you do a burpee, step over the box, get to the other side. That's one rep. You're already going to be smoked. At 4 minutes, you're going to do max alternating station lunges. So these stationary lunges, you can step back or forward, don't matter, but you're going to stay in one spot alternating for 2 minutes. Your legs are going to be cooking. And then you're going to do max burpee box step overs. And then you're going to do max air squats. So again, 2 minutes of step ups, 2 minutes of burpee box step overs, 2 minutes of alternating lunges, 2 minutes of burpee box step overs, 2 minutes of max air squats, 2 minutes of rest. And you're going to do that basically for 3 rounds. So you'll only have a little bit of rest. You'll be working for 8 minutes, resting for 2 minutes, doing all sorts of stuff. So that, to me, I love ruck and roll. It's not really rucking at all. It's just getting used to having a pack on and moving through some great movements. And you're going to be soaked in sweat. And then Saturday is a pump sesh with interval training. Sundays we rest. And I'll probably leak more workouts for you guys if you want to know. Or you can just join the app. It's $30 a month. Head to elkshape.com. Find the link for Elkshape Training. Try it out for a month. You can cancel when you want. But I think this is the most important time to get geared up for elk hunting. And I know our programming will get you more than prepared so that you have a more enjoyable experience and that you recover faster between days, which is what will separate you from the competition. And there will be lots of competition out there in the public land jungle. So, something to check out. Born Primitive Outdoor is dropping this soon, probably like really soon, their new shell and their new rain gear. The shell is called, what is it called? Am I allowed to say it? It's a nice outer shell. It's like layer number 4. So you'd have your like ridge line, and then you'd have like maybe the quiver for your mid layer, and then a puffy. And then you can have a shell that fits over your puffy, so you have 4 layers of insulation to keep you dry or to dry out you if you're sweaty. It's going to be awesome. The Rainier Flex, said the name, is their new rain system. And I got to test it out yesterday. I got rained on while bear hunting, and I busted it out. I'm pumped. This is like the final piece that they needed. And it will be a drop coming soon. And I'm wondering if my discount code will work. I think it will. Elk Shape will take 10% off Born Primitive. All Born Primitive, whether it's outdoor or Born Primitive, like workout gear. And out of the workout gear, the number one thing I'm going to recommend is the Savage One. They're back in stock. That is my favorite training shoe. Get those. You can run in them. You can ruck in them. You can do Olympic weightlifting. You can do body weight. You can do conditioning. All that stuff. So that's new. And then Stealth Cam's coming out with on May 7th, and I'm leaking it early, is they're bringing back their flash camera. Like, you know, instead of infrared, which I like a flash camera because you always get good nighttime images, and they're making a cellular one, which is going to be badass because I'm going to go put that out right away at one of my spots and put it to work and test it out. That's dropping. They got some new cams dropping May 7th, so be on the lookout. And then I have a code with them. It is non-cellular is ElkShape20 for 20% off. And for cellular, it's ElkShape10. That'll take 10% off. If you're not into the cellular market, get the DS4K. Put it on video mode, please, and get awesome 4K. And just, dude, buy a bigger memory card, like 128 gig or 256 gig or a 512 gig. It'll accept all those with lithiums. You can even get accessories for recharging, like a solar charger that hooks up to the camera. Get a Python lock cable to keep honest thieves honest. And I love trail cams. I do. I'm into it. So out of all the new Crispies that dropped this year, I think it's almost laughable that the boot I'm wearing the most is the Summit 2s. I keep going back to those. They're just a little bit more comfortable. They have just a little bit more room in the toe box and just a little bit more flex rating. So they're just like the Colorados or the Colorado 2s. They're just one flex rating lower. There are 3 versus 4. And I continue to put those on. And then the Laponia Lights. I thought I would love the Laponia 3s, and I do, but the Laponia Lights are just, they weigh nothing. I just feel like they're a really good boot for stalking. If you're a stalker for hunting, you need to look at those options for sure. And then the latest pack I've been running is the Kufaru 4300 KU. It's growing on me to where, I mean, it doesn't have outside pockets. I did put a guide lid on it, but it is so light on the arc frame, and I like lightweight stuff. It's just a super lightweight solution. Kufaru's never really been known for lightweight anything. And I think for those that just want a simple pack that can do it all, including carry stuff for an expedition, this is going to be the pack for you. And, I mean, I love the Bedlam. I love the Hoodlum. I've tried almost every pack they make, but I'm thinking that 4300 might be the pack of the year. And I've only used it for 2 days in the field, but I absolutely loved it. And it's got the best system for strapping your bow or rifle, without having to put anything extra on it. It's got 3 horizontal straps. It's really secure the bow. I have to do that when I ride an e-bike, dirt bike, four-wheeler, or when I'm hiking in the dark with double trekkers. So something to consider. While we were bear hunting, man, I was mag viewing deer, elk, moose, bears. Get yourself a digiscoping solution. Get the mag view. The 10% off code is Elkshape, and I'm telling you, like, a magnet on the back of your phone or phone case, whatever you want. You don't have to have an extra phone case. You can use all three lenses. They have a little free app if you need help, like, gridding out where to put the phone. I don't even use the app. And you can go horizontal or vertical. And it's got an adapter to cover and protect your spotter. You can also get the B1 for your binos. I don't do that one. Honestly, if I'm in a digiscope, I want it on a tripod. And I carry a tripod. The one I've been carrying the most is the Asiac. Weighs nothing. It's a good product. I have it on my website if you're interested. It's that versus probably the Carbon from Vortex. Both those are really good options for backcountry style hunts where you're really trying to shave weight. But that's kind of what I've been rocking and rolling. And then update on Elkshape HQ. We are taping and mudding the studio. Alicia's starting to build the accent walls. I haven't done a damn thing. I've been gone so much. I can't wait. We're going to be demoing the next building, the insides of it, and getting it ready for the gym. And the house that we live in right now is not on the market yet. We're still debating. So listening to the good Lord on that. Hopefully we'll have the studio done in the next month or two and then start working on the new gym. If somebody wants to buy our house, great. And then we'll work towards either building this year or next year. That's the update. We did film the QAD video out there, which is great. It's fun to have room and no neighbors and to be able to shoot my bow as far as I want. And it's been good. Hopefully you're having a great week. This is your update. I like these. I do have some podcast guests coming, some hand-picked ones, but also if you guys have any ideas for people that you want to hear from and topics you want to cover, or if you just want to do Q&As, man, email me your questions. I will answer them here, dan@elkshape.com. We can go over fitness. We can go over bow hunting or bow hunting elk specifically. We can go over gear, and we can go over balancing family. We can go over finances. We can go over fiscal discipline and how to basically live your best life. I hope you make it a great week. I hope that you're getting outside, getting your sweats in, getting your reps in, working on your side hustle, e-scouting, just checking boxes, being the best version of yourself. Separations in the preparation. We'll catch you on the next one.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.